Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're going to do another program in our Prayers to the Creator series. In the last one, you discussed a couple of songs of ascent.
Yes, Scott. Psalms 120 through 134 are called songs of ascent. They were sung by Israelite pilgrims as they made their way up to Jerusalem to observe the various festivals prescribed by the law.
The key word being up, which is why they were called songs of ascent.
That's right. To the Jewish people, no matter where you were coming from, if you were traveling to Jerusalem, you went up.
In terms of sea level.
Right. And the two psalms we considered last time were Psalms 121 and 123.
So you mentioned Psalms 120 through 134 were all songs of ascent. Is the next prayer to the Creator in that group of songs?
Well, Scott, as hard as I tried to find one more that would fit our criteria for being a prayer to the Creator, I didn't find one in the Songs of Ascent.
Rats.
The next prayer to the Creator I found was Psalm 139.
All right, Psalm 139. You know, that's a well-known psalm. Mm-hmm. It's the fearfully and wonderfully made psalm, right?
Yes, that's a good description that identifies it for many people, although there is a lot more to Psalm 139 than just that well-known and treasured phrase. So let's look at it, Scott.
I'm ready.
Good. It's 24 verses long, so I may not consider every verse, but first let's read the introduction.
Okay, Psalm 139. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Aha! So it's a song written by David.
Yes, and it has four distinct stanzas of six verses each, but it's addressed to the Lord, so it fits our criterion for being a prayer. And that becomes apparent in the first word of the body of the psalm. David begins by saying, O Lord. And in the first stanza alone, he addresses God by name or with a personal pronoun 9 times.
Wow.
So his thoughts and words are definitely to the Lord. Now, as for the other criterion to be a prayer to the Creator, which is the prayer identifies God as the Creator, David doesn't do so until the third stanza, specifically in verses 13 through 15. But it's in those verses that he says the familiar phrase, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And just to clarify that David is crediting the Lord for making him, after saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, he immediately adds, wonderful are thy works. But as I said, the psalm has much more in it than the grateful acknowledgement that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I do want to consider the psalm from the beginning. So go ahead and start reading at the beginning, Scott.
For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me.
Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar.
Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways.
Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all.
Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Okay, now, if I ask you to summarize what David says in that first stanza, what would you say?
God knows us better than we even know ourselves?
That's an excellent summary.
Thank you.
As David is speaking to the Lord, he is acknowledging not only that he knows the Lord knows him extremely well, he doesn't even understand all what that means. But he sure is happy about the fact that the Lord knows him so well, even better than he knows himself. And why?
Well, one reason would be because nothing we do surprises the Lord or catches him off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he is always there to protect us.
Which is what verse 5 specifically indicates. Quote, you have closed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Unquote. You know, that reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Where he's talking about the special relationship he and the Father have with his sheep. He says, I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, for the child of God, being enclosed by both the Father and the Son's hand is an indescribable comfort.
It brings a peace that passes all understanding.
Which is precisely what David then says in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it.
Dr. Scripture, another thing David mentions that I find almost funny is when he says, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all.
Why is that funny?
Well, it's like a couple that has been married for so long that they can finish each other's sentences.
Well, that's a good point. I have to say that Karen and I do that on occasion. And isn't that kind of familiarity precious? And to think, David is describing the familiarity that exists between himself and the Lord. Now, we could look at more of the details recounting how it is that the Lord knows us so well in those first six verses, but let's just summarize that first stanza with the description, "The Lord knows us intimately well, even better than we know ourselves." And with that idea in mind, I would ask you listeners, even as I ask myself, does that comfort you or maybe scare you?
Or maybe it does some of both.
Yes, I think if we're completely honest with ourselves, there will be some of both reactions. But the better our relationship with the Lord is, the more comforting that closeness becomes. Well, then, we come to the second stanza, verses 7 through 12. And I would summarize this stanza to say, "The Lord is always with me."
Similar to what David wrote in the 23rd Psalm?
Yes, very similar thoughts are expressed here in Psalm 139. So, let's read this second stanza of Psalm 139.
Okay, verse 7. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence?
If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there.
If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea,
even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me.
If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night,
even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. So, no matter where we go, no matter what our circumstances, high places, low places, dark places, or light places, the Lord is there with us.
Dr. Scripture, this may seem childish, but don't you think this passage could calm the fears of people who are afraid of the dark?
Well, I suppose one might think it's childish, but the Bible is written for children too. These verses provide a wonderful opportunity for parents to reassure their children that God is with them even in the dark. You know, I try and make this point as often as possible for the sake of Bible-believing parents trying to raise their children in a world so opposed to biblical principles. Use the Bible to address daily challenges and life experiences every chance you get. It demonstrates the practicality of God's Word in the child's life. This passage, for example, encourages the child to be in relationship with God personally, not just as an abstract concept taken from Bible stories. Fear of the dark is a very real experience for some children, and for some adults too. What does this passage say? Darkness isn't dark to the Lord. He sees right through it.
Yep.
And He is with you. His right hand is holding on to you. Now, we may apply that symbolically, as David did in Psalm 23, and understand that even through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will lead us. But we can also apply it to the very real, literal circumstance of being fearful in the dark. Parents, share that with your son or daughter next time they are afraid in the night. Read Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12 with them. Let God's Word come alive for them. Now, Scott, we're not going to finish studying this psalm in today's program anyway, so I want to point out something in verse 12 that relates to how we interpret Scripture. This is what Genesis 1:2 says, "And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep." And now, Scott, read verse 12 of Psalm 139.
Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee.
Okay. Now, does that statement in verse 12 change the meaning of the word darkness in Genesis 1:2? I mean, it says, darkness is not dark to God.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you're getting at, but I'd say, surely not. Psalm 139:12 doesn't change the meaning of the word darkness in Genesis 1:2.
I totally agree. And what I'm getting at is, just as Psalm 139 doesn't reinterpret Genesis chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 3, in which Peter is referring to Psalm 90, also doesn't reinterpret Genesis chapter 1. But I can't tell you how often I've had a discussion with a person who truly believes the Bible and who uses 2 Peter to say the word day in Genesis chapter 1 doesn't mean a day as we normally understand it. Because 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, "With the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." What they're doing when they do that is they're using a verse that is making a comparison between how God perceives things and how we perceive things, and applying it to how that word is used in another passage of the Bible. Even though that contrast between how God views something and how we view it has nothing to do with the meaning of the words in the passage being looked at. The word darkness means there's not enough light to see something in Psalm 139 and Genesis 1. And the word day means a normal day in both 2 Peter and Genesis 1. These comparisons that are being made in Psalm 139:12 and 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 are God's way of explaining to us that He is so great, there are just a lot of things about Him that we simply can't comprehend. For example, how does He know us so well, even better than we know ourselves? Well, David responds this way, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it." Well, one of the reasons that He knows us better than we know ourselves is because He made us. And that's what David goes on to thank the Lord about in the third stanza of Psalm 139, which I'm afraid we'll have to talk about in our next program.
No.
"For Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.